Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Infinite with Abel God, taking us to 9 minutes after 12. A very good afternoon to you. If you have just tuned in, you're listening to Heart with myself, Lukom Gwedi Puti. It's Thursday's edition of Heart to Heart, all the way up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Very good afternoon to you if you have just joined us.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
So it's that time of the day. As you know, every single Thursday, we start off our afternoon with the word of God. And of course, our regular, I should call him, part of the furniture by now, a resident pastor for every Thursday, Dr. Julius Maggot. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Luca. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Maybe I must also acquaint myself to the to ask Enika's name, Mbuu. Doctor,
yeah.
I'll give you a double barrel. Dr. Julius Mbuu Maggot.
You did it well.
Yeah.
That was a good pronunciation.
So what are we talking about this afternoon?
Oh, look, I just was having a reflection on, I think, anger. I don't know why I came across this. I started writing a piece on victory over anger.
Wow!
Because I think anger is a disposition of humankind. We all get into it.
Yep.
We've had the greatest of all men, even Moses.
Be angry.
And talk less even of our Lord Jesus Christ, because, you know, anger in the very context of our Lord Jesus Christ was righteous indignation. And I think talking today on the topic anger does not by any means, you know, stigmatize or highlight the fact that people should think that anger is a sin. Anger, it's a disposition of human nature and emotion. But permit me just to say, anger was initially intended by God to reveal injustice. Yeah, that was the initial intention, because
never thought of it that way.
It was really meant to reveal a form of injustice, which we talk of righteous indignation. So it was really meant to right a wrong.
Yeah, I smile because I know anything that's got to do with justice and injustice, that's at the tip of your tongue, definitely.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive to injustice in all its ramification. Maybe one, because my spiritual inclination reading scripture is always, you know, being in the light of what Christ himself had to deal with, you know, in terms of injustice. You see the woman caught in adultery and all the rest. But again, maybe my legal background for my specialty.
That's what it is.
Chapter 2 of the Constitution of South Africa, the Bill of Rights, which has a range of rights which protects also any form of injustice, maybe compound the fact of my very posture in terms of making sure that people have a right, you know, not in the sense of right abuse, because we have what we call extreme, you know, and excessive rights. But I just believe that there are many people who are vulnerable out there and voiceless. That we could come alongside them and give them recourse in terms of the forms of injustices that they might be going through. And so today I'm talking on anger. In fact, if you want the topic, the topic today is victory over anger. Victory over anger.
You know what amazes me is when you said anger is not a sin. It actually reminded me there's a verse in the Word of God that says, "In your anger, do not sin."
And definitely,
I'm
definitely going to touch on that.
Oh, wow.
I told you, I don't know, you're so much in the spirit when I'm in the studio. I always get you so much, you know, inclined to just my notes already. So I know I'm dealing with somebody who is spiritually very matured and sensitive. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 and 27 says, make room for anger that is, okay, so there's anger which is not sinful, mm-hmm. but it says in that verse, be angry and do not sin.
Mm.
Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So let me repeat it again, Ephesians 4, 26, 27. It says, be angry.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely...
You're allowed to.
We are allowed to be angry. So be angry and do not sin. So there is a caveat there. There is a caveat. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So I always qualify this way for those who are writing. Again, our topic is victory over anger. And we have two passages of consideration today. One of our key pericopes will be Romans chapter 12 from verse 18 to 21. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 to 21. But also Ephesians 4, 26, 27, which you just mentioned, local.
Okay.
And I'm excited. I don't know why. I'm thinking that you're one of the counselors which God really wants to use in his vineyard.
Yeah.
So if the Bible says we are allowed to sin, the Bible says be angry, but do not, we are allowed to be angry. Sorry, let me correct myself. We are not allowed
just,
to sin.
Just now you jump in your seat and you're like, yes,
we
can, sir.
Yeah, please get me corrected. Yeah, no. So we are not allowed to sin. We are allowed to be angry, but in our anger, we shouldn't sin. I think I just got some people now who are driving back to their minds when I made that statement. Sometimes the Holy Spirit might use a statement like that to get you, for those who have an alert and critical mind. But again, let me repeat myself. We definitely are not allowed to sin, but we are allowed to be angry, but in our anger, we shouldn't sin. And in that very qualification of anger, there are two key points. We shouldn't allow the sun to go down on our anger, and we should not allow opportunity to the devil. So I'm giving you two words now to qualify this verse. So there is the duration of your anger.
Okay.
And there is the reaction to your anger.
Sure.
So the duration of your anger, the Bible qualifies that what might cause anger to gravitate towards sin is the duration.
If you allow it.
If you allow it.
Last longer than it should.
Okay, I'm talking to some couples who are sleeping east wing and west wing of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to couples who are sleeping north wing and south wing of the bed. And let me tell you, look, we married, some of us who married, if you've not been in that posture, literally, you've been in that posture in your heart, where you've just had your own side of the bed.
Yeah.
And the other person, they've had their own side of the bed.
And the thing with anger is that it always feels justified.
It always feels, it always feels justified. Mm. And, you know, I've always had married counselors say, please don't go to bed without, you know, making peace with one another. But let me tell you, that's a good advice. But sometimes
it's practicality becomes another thing altogether.
Oh, come on.
That's true.
Sometimes the practicality gets very difficult.
Mm.
And let me say it, you know, because many a times people, couples, even Christians in this context, they've gone to bed without really making peace with one another. They've not had a genuine, and if so, I'm qualifying it a genuine forgiveness and repentance and just peace with one another. You know,
I feel like you held our hands and gave us a hiding when you said a genuine one, because there can also be that, you know, pretense one, because we just want things to move on.
You just can be so pretentious and you just tell somebody for the sake of sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
And the next thing is that's what I'm saying. The duration now qualifies 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. You still harbor that anger in you.
Yep.
You pretentially just smile to each other. How are you? No, I'm fine. But you know from the depths.
But you know, you're not okay.
You're not okay.
Mm.
And so that might perpetrate into the duration. And which duration we are so much, you know, admonished, and we are called upon to make sure. Because why a duration? Because during that duration, the devil might come in.
Hmm.
That's when you are most vulnerable.
You open room for him.
You open a foothold to the devil. So when you don't forgive in that very instance, or you don't really give room, we're not giving so much a qualification of duration, but we are told by the very interpretation of scripture that the sun shouldn't go down.
Yeah.
And the immediate interpretation of the sun shouldn't go down means don't go beyond a day.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, don't go beyond a day harboring anger with you, because if you go beyond a day, talk less of even going through the night. The night, you know, has a lot of advice and wisdom,
mm-hmm.
which you could get, sometimes positive and negative.
Yep.
You might get up from there, and the devil will give you the worst whispers and amplify whatever might have been the trigger.
Sure.
And so we have to be very careful. So the Bible says we should be angry, but we should not allow that anger gravitate into sin. And the sin component comes in the duration.
Yeah.
It means you've allowed that to have its roots, you know, in you. And permit me, I'm using the roots because anger has some fruits. there's a likelihood that if you allow the roots of anger to be ingrained in you, you'll see the fruit. And the fruit of anger is the reaction to anger.
Yep. Yep.
So listen to this. The duration of anger builds a root in your life.
Yeah.
And if ever you don't deal with it promptly, you're going to see the reaction of anger, which is the fruit of it. So that's why I say these are the two. And the reaction also is sometimes unpleasant.
Okay.
Because it's been told that most people are angry, and not within the context of injustice, because definitely we've said it that anger was again meant for righteous indignation. The woman who definitely Jesus went into the temple and had to, you know, send away those who were money exchanges and everything, that was righteous indignation. My house shall be called a house of prayer. If you see a lady being abused, that's righteous indignation. Let's qualify that way. If you see somebody being maltreated, that's righteous indignation. So there are many qualifications of righteous indignation, which is injustice in a nutshell. So when you see any form of injustice, then your anger is legitimized.
Yeah.
It's legitimized. You definitely should step in and be able to address that situation.
You should be angry at the actual situation.
You should be angry within the very context of that very situation and see how to get recourse around it. But anger also comes from unjust situations. You have, I'm talking of couples because I don't know why I prepared this. Maybe from each and every one of us Christians, our contexts really highlights this. There are situations where, as you said, Loco, you believe and think that you're right.
Mm.
And because everybody is right in a relationship.
That's true. That is so true. And everybody wants to be heard.
Yeah. We all get right in that relationship. And so we definitely always want to be so protective of our spaces. And that's why I think this very space of anger and the context of anger of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, 27 really addresses that. But Romans chapter 12, also 18 to 20, 21 gives us a prescription of solutions. So again, I'm repeating, please, the duration of your anger is a foothold.
Yeah.
And the reaction of your anger might just be the trigger. And I said the reaction also doesn't come pleasantly.
Yeah.
And the reaction sometimes is non-verbal. Mm. But sometimes it's what you say. But sometimes what you don't say.
Mm.
Because our non-verbal communication are our body language. As somebody says, you can deal with somebody just looking at them.
I've heard a lot of people actually say that to me. You know what, Luca, you don't need to say a thing because your face speaks.
Yeah, your face speaks. Just the way you gaze and you look at someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks volume than even just the words.
And sometimes you say, no, I'm not angry, but your face actually says
but
you
are. Your face really depicts what's happening from your heart and definitely from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But again, permit me say, and by no justification, we're saying God really wants us to defend truth. And this anger also can be if ever you see people, Christians, pastors, not representing Christ the way they should. You have the right to be angry if a pastor is manipulative, if a pastor goes out there, you know, with the prosperity gospel and tries to extort money from people. You have right to be angry. You know, you have right to be angry. Again, no matter in that form of anger for injustice, we are still told that anger should not.
It should have an expiry time.
It should have an expiry time. This still is subject still to these two conditions. That anger should be to the point where it's not reactive, because you can go to the point where you react negatively. So there are many ways of recourse. We have it legally. There are many ways of recourse, but we have the soft law, which is mediation, arbitration. You have negotiation. Then the worst part is litigation. You don't want to get into litigation. A lot of us run away from litigation. And don't call me into court now for litigation, because I'm one of the advocates of the soft law. I love arbitration, mediation, negotiation.
And have you met Mr. Sekamele before?
I follow him. Just after,
I did say, oh, really? Yeah, I did that. I'd actually make you guys meet. It's one of his biggest things to say. Let's save time and costs. Let's mediate.
And it's scriptural, because the Bible says, settle your matter with the person you know you have a dispute with, because if it gets to court, it might get worse. So court already is litigation. So the Bible gives us every room for arbitration. And that's why there's CCMA. there's room for arbitration. There's room for negotiation. There's room for mediation. Yeah. And the worst still, last of which is litigation. But again, I want to highlight the fact that we are all humans. Why do we talk of anger? We talk of anger because we're still living in a fallen world. Yep. We're still living in a broken world. We're living in a world which is Romans chapter 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Yep. So we're still living in a broken world where people get angry. The only place where we would not see anger is in heaven. It's in heaven. You wouldn't get angry in heaven.
Come on. Otherwise, get out of here. Like,
because
why
definitely
did you
would have had you would have had a transformation, and definitely your state in heaven would not be susceptible to sin. And so definitely we're still living in a fallen world where local people will still trigger you. They'll get you into anger. They'll step on your toes. And let me tell you, marriage is one of the greatest places where there are a lot of anger
triggers.
There are lots of anger triggers in marriage. So please, but marriage is a beautiful institution.
Indeed.
But again, God will model marriage so that we can be trained. It's a grace formative space of character. You just might think that you are best, but you never know.
There's a lot of learning and growth that
till
happens.
You go through another learning curve, and there is none. I usually get couples, you know, I don't know if they want to hide it, and they say, I've never had a fight with my wife. I say,
I've heard those.
Oh, wonderful. I think your marriage should be around heaven, you know.
But it's pretty perfect.
Some of us are still on earth, you know. Some of us got married on earth, and because definitely Jesus said there's no marrying in heaven, so some of us got married on earth, and we're still feeling some of the pinch and some of the very excesses of our very flesh still on earth. But thanks be to God, because Jesus Christ lives in us, and the Bible says because he lives in us, we have overcome the world.
Come on.
And that's a good news which is there, because the good news is that the Spirit of God enables you to overcome the very tendencies of the flesh. So I needed to give context to this. I'm talking to somebody who's just going through a very tough time. Either at your job site or maybe even you're married. You might just be going through a very tough time. And let's repeat ourselves. Anger is a legitimate legal disposition of every human being. The Bible says, be angry. You are allowed to be.
Yeah.
But the limitations to the very right of you being angry.
Hey.
I'm using my...
You've got the right, but the rights are limited.
I'm using my legal human rights terms is that you definitely don't have to allow the sun to set on your anger. And you don't also have to give a foothold to the devil in terms of your reaction because you might become insultive, you might become violent and brutal. And I want to use this, Loco, permit me, I think I have this in my spirit. Please, husband, the worst you can do to your wife is to lay hands on her. Never you get there. We should be able to make that very clear. No matter the degree of your anger, there are many ways to vent it out. I usually tell the gentleman, I just finished your marriage counseling. I told the young man, just step out of the house.
Take a walk.
Take a walk.
Just go breathe.
And please, don't go to the wrong places and the wrong people. Don't go to the wrong places and the wrong people. Just make sure that you just take a breather and just go out. But please never, never, I repeat it, never should you lay your hands on any woman. And if you've done that, please, you have to prove 10 times to her that you will never do it because you are one of her very protective shield. The woman stands in full protection by God. I don't want to exclude that, but the language of the woman is security, and our greatest security should be that man she's allowed into her space, not to abuse her either emotionally, verbally, and worse still physically. I needed to put this in context. Important. I needed to put this in context, especially talking about anger, because you know, I went to Uganda. I was doing a training in Uganda. And while I was doing that training in Uganda, I usually have these digressions in my trainings. Sometimes the Americans say we chase a rabbit. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to put a finger on something which is happening. So my interpreter in Uganda, he was interpreting me, and suddenly I was talking about leadership. So I digressed and I talked about not abusing women. I just said, please, please, as a leader, you should be careful. Don't get there. And I think he was one of those perpetrators.
Sure.
And he turned to me and said, is this a training you brought to us? I said, yes.
Literally in front of the people.
In front of the people, because
Because I know some people... I don't say it's a cultural thing, but because it's such a norm in their circles. The bravery to actually turn around and ask me that.
It's really a bravery for you to turn around. I was there with Dr. Fred, you know, my U.S.
Is it during that trip?
My U.S. partner, and he's the one who even answered. He said, yes.
Part of your training?
What? This is part of the training. What Dr. Julius is doing is an integral part of the training. So immediately I had an endorsement, you know, from Dr. Fred there, and he just kept quiet because definitely
couldn't go beyond that.
I just think it was, you know, an epiphany. God was just revealing that there is a crisis in that space. And later on, I think our host told me, you can't believe what you said because this is what is happening in this very space. A lot of women are being abused. And
so that's what I'm saying. It's like a cultural formulation where people actually think my actions are a norm.
My actions
and so
are
when
norm.
They are condemned, it's a shocker because
it's
how dare you speak?
And it gets there.
Could have
and
only so, been the Holy Spirit. Eh?
I just believe, Loco, that it was the Holy Spirit. I most often, as we told, stick to your notes. But sometimes I think we need to stick to the Holy Spirit. We need to stick more to what the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, from the notes, but in the very instant also what he wants to say to somebody. Yep. And I didn't know that my interpreter was part of the game as well. And definitely, I think a couple of men also were assisted, because a number of women came behind and said, oh, that was a blessing. What you presented really helped us, because we don't have a voice here. We don't say anything. And definitely, these are the situations happening around us. So permit me, when I touch on anger today, victory over anger, I'm saying it's multifaceted. It's multifaceted. Yeah. But the reality is that our intention today, you know, local, having this conversation, is to help you in your journey, in your journey towards really being, you will not be completely out of anger, as we say, but definitely there will be mitigation, attenuation of that. And we definitely say this can only happen by the very intervention of God in your life. I usually say Christians get angry, but worse still, if you're not a Christian, how would that look like? Because with a Christian, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us even in our anger, because he is there to minister to you in the of other counselors, pastors, and other very close confidants who might be around you. Because one area of anger management is for you to seek counsel and advice also from people, especially when you've had it now as a stronghold, when you've had it as a major crisis in your life. You definitely need to seek counsel, advice, and admonition to make sure that you don't get into what I call, these are the three realities. Maybe we'll have a part A and B on this. Okay. There are three realities around anger. The first reality is that anger takes away your rationality.
True.
And permit me, like every good Baptist, let me give you 3 hours now. So anger takes away your rationality. Yeah. There is hardly anyone who is in anger, and especially in the exclusion of righteous indignation, there's anyone who gets themselves so angry, especially husband, wife, and you think rationally in your anger.
True.
So there's a high proclivity of you being irrational in your anger, because in anger, you always want to protect yourself.
Exactly.
You always want to protect yourself.
And you always want to prove
I am right. You always want to prove a point. You always want to prove a point. You always want to say, oh, I'm right. And definitely you pull the blanket on your side.
Yeah.
And as we say, you push some people under the bus. And you always want to. So anger has a huge proclivity towards selfishness.
Yeah,
it has a huge one. So if you want to take an objective judgment, I'll tell you, you can hardly take objective decisions in anger. You will most likely be subjective.
You're actually reminding me when you say it actually makes you want to push somebody under the bus. A couple of months ago, I had a bit of a rift, I believe, where my helper actually threw me under the bus.
Oh, wow.
Because she thought, that I was doing something to her. So usually I get up at like 9-ish in the morning and my husband's not around. But when he's around, my husband is an early riser. So he'll get up at like 5 at 6 and he starts having chats. So I get up and make my twins, you know, some porridge, because I'm awake already. I'm not going to go knock for her and say, make the kids porridge. And so she already took that, and she felt I was doing it because my husband is around.
Oh, wow.
And so when she was pushed in a corner and we were addressing a cell phone issue, because she was on a cell phone 24/7, and she thought, here's my chance. She's putting me into trouble. I'm going to take and throw her under the bus. She started creating lies about me.
Oh, wow.
In front of me, Pastor Jay. And I sat there in awe. I was gobsmacked. I said, what's this about? Days later, she had told my neighbor about it, who was quite close to us. And she tried to address the issue. And when we spoke on that day, she realized that's not what I was doing. When I explained to her why I often make my kids porridge at that time, why I wake up early, she looked at me and she said, no, I thought you were trying to get me into trouble with your husband. And I said, so you intentionally did that. You were angry at me and you threw me under the bus.
Under the bus, yeah. And look, which means that a lot of anger might be based on presumptions.
Exactly.
Yeah. So a lot of people, and if you don't have the full version of the story,
You're going to run with it.
You're going to run with it. But another thing, if you don't even know the context of the story, if you don't know the context, because if you just, you know, get information which is not complete and information which does not give you the latitude to appreciate context, you might get to conclusions.
Exactly.
You might get to conclusions.
And you might mess it all up.
So if you don't read into that situation objectively, if you don't read into that situation by really applying your mind, you might live with some presumptions.
Yep.
And let me tell you, anger is so much based on presumptions sometimes.
Most of the times,
most
actually.
Most of the times, it's based on presumptions. So listen to this. So what am I saying? Sometimes for you to be able to diffuse tension, get more information.
Exactly.
Do more investigation. Get proper information. And you would be surprised that if you meet that person, and you ask, but is that what you really were saying or you meant by what you were saying? And the person would tell you, no, this was the context. I was just saying it because 1, 2, 3, and you will be totally amazed.
Yeah, because perspective will calm you down.
Perspective will calm you down. You'll be totally amazed by your conclusions and by your assumptions. So number one, anger takes away your rationality. But number two, anger takes away your responsibilities. Yeah, because we've seen fathers who've gotten into angry mood and the next thing is they leave the house.
They walk away.
They walk away. Look, I'm not part of it. And just because you suspect maybe that somebody spoke to her, you got wind of information that, look, she smiled at somebody out there. And immediately you get to a conclusion that, oh, there's an affair happening. And the next is that, look, you take care of these kids. I will not be part of it again. Yep. So you get to realize that anger can easily get you abdicate your responsibilities. So take note of it.
You're such a godsend. That's such a common thing. It's true.
Yeah, there is a trigger which the devil can use. So number one, your rationality. Number two, your responsibility. But I think number three, I'm quite excited. Anger does not only take away your rationality, take away your responsibility, but take away your rights. And privileges as well. Yeah, because let me give an example. In your anger, you commit murder.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Your right to liberty is immediately taken. Your right to liberty is immediately taken.
And like you're saying, you commit murder or you hit the person.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately get yourself on the wrong side of the law.
Definitely. You have an immediate limitation to your rights and privileges immediately.
Take away your right because you could not reason.
Yeah, because you could not reason. Because you could not exercise self-control. And that's what I'm saying. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the last of which you have self-control, again, is of the Spirit. Yeah. It's not of the flesh.
Yeah.
Reason why... One of my very key recommendations to address and get victory over anger is giving your life to Jesus Christ first.
Amen.
That should be the point of departure. The point of departure is that you can't make it by your own strength. You can't fight anger.
Fail.
You will fail. You can go to whatever pharmacy and tell them, please, I just need a pill to calm down.
To calm me down.
You can't get a pill to calm you down. But the only person who can step into your boat and say, peace be still, is Jesus.
Come on.
Because anger is a storm in your life.
Yeah.
Anger is a storm. And definitely next week we're going to address that. Anger is a storm and you need Jesus Christ to calm that storm in your life. So permit me to pray for someone. I know our time is up.
Definitely.
Permit me to pray for someone. And please join us for next week's episode as we'll be dealing with the very solutions. And we'll be going through Romans chapter 12, 18 to 21, wonderful insight that God will be giving us on how to deal with anger and victory over anger. Father, I'm praying for myself. You've called me to the studio to pray not only for others, but for myself, because we're still living in a fallen, broken world.
Yes.
Father, we trust and depend on you, O God, that this life, we can't live it victoriously without you, Lord Jesus. So I'm praying this day that if there be anyone who does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, I just pray today, O God, that they will invite you into their lives, that you take control, take preeminence by your Spirit, and that you start giving them the enablement, the strength to overcome the power of anger in their lives, oh God. I'm praying for a couple that might just be going through a very topsy-turvy moment now, very chaotic moment. I just pray, Father God, that you calm the storm in that marriage, and that, Father, let emphasis move from self back to Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And that you will heal this relationship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Jay, thank you so much. This is really insightful. I was actually just thinking to myself, as you know, we're wrapping up this afternoon, the very first episode, when you texted me and said, we're talking about fasting, I thought to myself, what much more can this man talk about on fasting? And I think when you started with anger, I thought to myself, oh, it's probably just for today, but you've got more for us. So thank you so much. Thanks for spending time and really just studying the word and making sure that it trickles down to us.
Yeah.
You know, we learn a lot and our lives are transformed. So thank you so much and God bless until next week.
God bless you, Loka.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM Songs of Life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.